Hi everyone, welcome back to Prevention Nation,
where we believe education and awareness can change the culture of violence. I'm Caitlin Wagenfield.
And I'm Roy Letts. Welcome back to Prevention Nation. It's Roy here with Abby. And we are here talking about sex trafficking, labor trafficking, trafficking in general. So some things have come out in the news. I'm sure our listeners have heard a little or some of what's going on with Sean Combs, or as some people might know him, P. Diddy, or Diddy, or Puffy, or Puff Daddy. I mean, he goes by
so many names.
Yeah, right? and maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that
part of his
persona. Like, yeah. But yeah, so I have written out or typed out a whole list of some things. I went and both Abby and I read through the indictment. I'll kind of go into the list in a minute here, but Abby, anything that stood out to you most that you just, it's just shocking to you or whatever?
The first thing that comes to mind is probably, and we were just talking about this before this, but how intricate it was, which is probably part of the way that it was able to go, I won't say under the radar, because there were definitely whispers of his behavior and things like that for years now, but just how big and large it is. How expansive this network and scheme and all of that seems to be. It wasn't just this small one-timer, one person or whatnot. It was very detailed and planned out, and that, yeah, that's what instantly.
Yeah, I and that's one of the notes that I had on there was that, because I too, you know, think about when we talk about our agency, Safe on Main's agency mission, being inclusive of human trafficking prevention, education, and human trafficking response. The county is developing its human trafficking response team. And I think to myself, are we prepared? Are we prepared, one, to provide prevention education, or prepared to respond accordingly to the, like you said, the expansive? And I mean, this was Combs' enterprise was made up of Bad Boy Entertainment, Combs Global, and Combs Business, which, as it's listed out in the indictment, that his through his enterprise, those multiple businesses' enterprise, he was utilizing employees, security staff, household staff, personal assistants, high-ranking supervisors, and close associates to carry out this whole process dating back to the 1990s. I mean, and the intricacy and the networking involved in keeping everybody quiet,
yeah,
that true. Long. That is, I don't, honestly, I read through the indictment and I just thought to myself, well, Warren County, not that we're going to have anything that big, maybe, right. But you can't know, I guess. And that's what I can't help but think is, if he's running this trafficking ring and it's this big, probably all trafficking rings are pretty big. And when they're like that, how do we even respond to that accordingly? So,
yeah, because as you said, he's a celebrity where a ton of people know him. And even, you know, some of his victims are probably well-known people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have places like here where it's happening. It's not going to get nearly the same attention or anything like that. And you're talking about like aliases. He's a celebrity, mm-hmm. and he has all these potential aliases or whatnot. Joe Schmo down the street, he could have seven different names too to get away with it.
Right.
He's not.
With anonymity on their side, you know, versus that, you know, right. Sean Combs didn't have that. So, yeah.
Right. So it's kind of scary.
It is scary. Well, so, and that's, I'll just kind of jump into a couple things on the indictment. So for our listeners, what he's being indicted on is sex trafficking, forced labor, interstate transportation for purpose of prostitution, coercion, enticement to engage in prostitution, multiple narcotics offenses, kidnapping, arson, bribery, and obstruction of justice. That those are some, not just, I mean, there's just none of those that aren't big. Every one of those are really big. And I think, his narcotics things, that's kind of, so some of the things that stood out to me there in the indictment too was just the methods that he did things in. Ketamine, GHB were used. I mean, these are hardcore, powerful tranquilizers, and, you know, animal tranquilizers is what ketamine is. These were used to subdue his victims and to keep them compliant for when, I really hate the title of what their events were called.
Yeah, freak offs.
Yeah, freak offs. It's just, it's such a, I don't know, it's such a weird, I don't know. I don't know why even that even matters to me, but it just struck me as weird, just called freak offs. And yeah, I don't know.
Well, and it sounds like a lot of those freak offs are where he obtained a lot of his video or other forms of evidence to keep not just the victims, but also these people who were receiving the pleasure or the whatever. He then recorded all of them, so then they couldn't, so he could buy their silence and he could implicate them later and things like that. Seems like that's a lot of the time where it happened.
Yeah, and that's it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that's, it states that very clearly in the indictment also, that that all of his actions and the actions of his associates, in all the, you know, in all the elements of the indictment, claims that there was it was a massive effort to protect his interests, and it was, and his interests were protected, you know, through acts of violence, use of firearms, threats, coercion, verbal, emotional, physical, sexual abuse. But he did it all to secure, and it said in there, absolute loyalty. I mean, that's what he...
That's scary.
Yeah, absolute loyalty. So, and one of the ways that I just, I guess, when we think about victims of human trafficking, sexual or labor trafficking, you think about how do we help people in those situations, it really hit me hard thinking about, in order for him to secure that absolute loyalty, the things he did to his victims was he controlled, and again, listed in the indictment, he controlled their finances, he controlled their housing and mortgages, controlled their careers, their payment, monitored their medical records, dictated how they looked, fueled addiction by keeping them drugged. He extorted them using incriminating evidence that he had, videos at the freak-offs. And then they couldn't even, his victims couldn't even go and get help and seek help and report injuries, because after the freak-offs, he would keep his victims locked and kidnapped in rooms for days until all their injuries would heal.
Sounds like trafficking to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the level of detail that it took to do that. Like, I'm trying to protect my interest. I need absolute loyalty. So I'm going to conceal your injuries so you can't even go and report them. You can't, you don't have injuries to report, because I'm going to make sure you heal from them. And mention of his victims, these freak-offs lasting for days on end, and mention of his victims being on IV fluid to keep them hydrated during this process. The amount of lubrication for sexual gratification that was utilized and in possession of him. I don't know. I just can't believe the intricacy and the depth to which he had to do all this. So
it's very Weinstein-esque.
Right. Well, and what's interesting when you say that is, with Weinstein, I mean, we see a singular conviction. What is, there's just no way when they talk about and list in this indictment the intricacy of this, I have to believe that there's going to be a lot more indictments. Yeah, there has to be. Yeah. I mean, it said in their high-ranking supervisors, well, knowing Combs and the industry he was in, I mean, he's in the industry of, you know, alcohol, spirits, music, the music industry, the media industry. I mean, these are big industries. So I have
to believe.
And that's
just what we know of. Right off the top of our head. Because these people tend to have tons of different things in different departments.
Yeah, who knows how far reaching it is in, I mean, clothing businesses.
Right.
I mean, who knows how far reaching. And if you're talking high-ranking supervisors, I have to believe that there's going to be some people that are high-profile people that are going to, and at the very least, I would think a lot of people, you can't run, I mean, I'm putting together, and not me, you and I, and some people in the community are putting together a food rescue program. And it's taking, I mean, we're up to like 12 people in our group, and it's going to take even far more than that to orchestrate a food rescue, minimal food rescue program in a small town in Nowhereville, USA. To run a multi faceted organization enterprise
that goes back to the 90s.
Yeah, that goes back to the, there has got to be hundreds and hundreds of implicated people, I would think.
And victims. And
I can't even imagine the number of victims. Did you see anywhere in the indictment where it said it anticipated number of victims or anything?
I didn't
either.
But it's probably a really sad number.
Right. One is tragic, and I think this is going back to the 90s again. These traffic victims don't age well through these processes. It's not like somebody made a career out of being a trafficking victim. So I'm sure these victims have cycled through the ages. You know, I just think that there's got to be so many. I can't even put a number on what I would think it might look like.
Well, and we mentioned earlier as well when we were talking, preparing for this, the way you say that makes it seem like these people who are just the trafficked victims, who, you know, these less fortunate people, less income, probably stars and celebrities and people that went through his system as well. Like we'd mentioned Justin Bieber, there's suspicion.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of concerns about him. I mean, he was
sleeping
over there and going on trips with him. And I've seen videos, and I won't speak to the, you know, the validity of those videos, but I have seen videos where that it looks very secretive what, you know, Justin Bieber was, where he was going with
and very cozy.
Yep.
And that's just one celebrity.
Yeah,
I've heard. He was young and impressionable. I'm sure there's so many. There's so many.
Yeah, even if he wasn't, because we don't want to make assumptions that everybody was.
Right.
Everybody was a victim of his. Well, I mean, I think everybody ever connected
seems
him
like
was probably
a situation.
Victim in some shape, way, or form.
Right.
But yeah, so maybe Justin Bieber or somebody in there, you know, referencing the stars, maybe even if they weren't a sexual victim, they were definitely exposed to something. They definitely have some awareness or were controlled in some shape, way, or form, or coerced or whatever. And 50 Cent has been very
vocal,
non-vocal, you know, like about you'll see, but not being specific. Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder why nobody's said much. I mean, I mean, when I read through this and it says in here, you know, that he used to protect his reputation, he used coercion, threats to fulfill his sexual desires. That he was, you know, in the indictment, it talks about incidences of striking, punching, dragging, throwing objects, kicking people. He was found with weapons and used weapons, firearms violations. I mean, I just think he was sufficiently scary and very dangerous.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah, it's really wild, I think, just looking at how he did all this. And
very thought out, very, yeah, it's scary.
Yeah,
and I think even more and more is going to come out, especially now that he's actually under arrest, his bail was denied, all these things. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how it unfolds.
I do too. Let me ask you, Abby, just thinking about, like, again, our agency's mission to address issues around human trafficking, what can an agency like us, Safe on Main in Nowhereville, USA, what can we glean from this? What I don't know, can you think of anything?
I definitely think the thing that pops in my head is just going back to one of the first things I mentioned, just how expansive these things are and tend to be, and it can definitely be one of those hiding in plain sight things. You know, if you have a suspicion or something seems off or someone seems, you know, follow that intuition. You know, maybe you are wrong, but I mean, it's taken them how many years to fully investigate this case of a high-profile person? You know, even in our small-town USA neighborhoods, whatnot. You know, if you have this weird suspicion or if you see two people interacting, it's like that scenario with trafficking where, you know, if you see someone acting like this and not things like that, you know, follow that intuition. Maybe you're wrong, okay, but you could very well be right, and it could not just help that person. It could lead to this huge thing being unfolded. And, of course, you know, get proper authorities or people involved. Don't go jump head in first.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, alert the authorities, make a comment, do a tip, something like that, because you very well could uncover something huge like this, even in Warren County. Yeah. It is happening.
Absolutely.
There. So.
No, I love that you say that, that it is happening. I think it's happening. I think you're right. It's happening. It's looking, you know, maybe different from town to town or city to city. Obviously, we don't have a Sean Combs per se, you know, with that kind of notoriety in Warren County, but you're right. I mean, it's with the anonymity, somebody who has anonymity, it could be still a very extensive network even in Warren County. But however it shows up, familial, big rings like this, I think there's definitely some things to glean from, and I think you're right. And some things I got out of it were, one, I guess I think to myself, responsivity. Like when we find, or if we should find a victim and come in contact with the victim, understand, I think from a trauma-informed perspective, understand that they may have had their housing, their medical records, right, their appearance all controlled. They may have been seriously addicted to substances, and all those things are going to maybe present, you know, not like a traditional or typical victim of a lot of the things that we see here. You know, so I think that victimization is going to look very challenging. It's going to be multi-purposed, like help and support. You know, you can't just come in with one type of help or another. It has to be comprehensive wraparound services to help victims that have gone through the kind of stuff that it's talking here. Imprisonment, kidnapping, arson concerns. I'm not even sure what it means in the indictment when it talks about arson. Was he burning homes down? Was he?
Wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know, you know. So yeah, I think that's what I glean from this, is the absolute need for wraparound services for victims and survivors. And I think also just the far-reaching implication of that these rings aren't run by a singular person.
Oh, absolutely not.
So when we start to encounter situations like this as we move forward in our human trafficking response and prevention, it's not one person getting arrested, because that one person isn't orchestrating it by themselves. They have accomplices, and you take out that one person and those accomplices just fill that spot. So you didn't abolish, you know, the trafficking in your area just because you made an arrest. You may have just subverted it into a different area. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of things we can keep processing about this and learning from it. I want to learn some prevention things. What can we do and start to implement in prevention to stop this from even developing here? I don't even know.
I think some things that we're already doing is having more conversations about what does this look like truly in today's age in our community, because there's a lot of misconceptions about what it looks like and things like that. And obviously it can vary. Right. But I think that's a great first step that we're doing, is addressing some of that misinformation, misconceptions, and things like that. I think we need to continue doing that, getting the word out, things like that.
That's the best thing I've heard all day. You're absolutely right. I think we just have to keep going about creating that change and a better understanding for what human trafficking is, both sex and labor trafficking. So on that note, listeners, be on the lookout for, you know, signs of things of, you know, not just this, but any sign of people in trouble, people being hurt, people being harmed. Get help, find supports, be supportive. I think one of the things here, these victims said that they had their injuries concealed and all these things. So they had to go on their word alone when asking for help. So I say believe people when they say they're being hurt. So on that note, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and check back in and listen to us again.